Good evening.
Good evening.
Lord willing, I would like to share a few thoughts regarding justification. And I would like to look at what is justification, why do we need justification, and how are we justified. I'll be sharing very familiar passages. It's not like you don't know what justification is and so on. But the study really refreshed my heart and gave me renewed appreciation for God and what He has done through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And so first let's look at what is justification. Before defining justification, I would like to say what justification is not. Justification is not a process of making a person innocent before God. It is not God considering us sinless or have not sinned at all. We are not sinless before or after justification. It is not God making us righteous. We can still sin even after we are justified. So what then is justification? Justification is a sovereign act of God whereby He declares believers in Christ Jesus not guilty and righteous based on the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. Justification is God declaring our state that we have been brought into when we get saved. Justification is God declaring our standing on the merit of Christ Jesus' work on the cross. As you know, the words justification and righteousness are closely related terms. It comes out of the same Greek word. Justification is a judicial declaration by the divine God. And righteousness has to do with a person's moral virtue. We call a morally just person a righteous person. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, we read, "He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he or Christ is righteous." In other words, what a person lives out or practices determines whether that person is righteous or not. If a person habitually practices righteousness just like Christ, then that person is righteous. The qualities of a righteous person can be seen in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15. If you want, you can turn to it. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15. "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refuses bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil." The walk and the speech of a righteous person is blameless. He despises what needs to be despised, refuses what needs to be refused, guards his ears from what he hears, and guards his eyes from what he sees. There are two things that happens during justification. First thing that happened during justification is acquittal from all guilty charges. And the second thing that happens during justification is a declaration of the current state of believer in Christ Jesus by the sovereign God, that he or she is righteous based on the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. I would like to read a passage from Old Testament that brings out the meaning of justification from a judicial perspective. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1. If you want, you can turn to that portion. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1. The background here is Moses, towards the end of his life, repeats God's law to the children of Israel before entering into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1. "If there is a dispute between men, and they come to court, that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked." Here we see when there is dispute or quarrel between two men or between two people, they would come to the court. The judges would listen to their case. They will probably evaluate the evidences and judge them. The judges would then justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. What does it mean by judges would justify the righteous? The judges basically declares publicly the state of the righteous man, that he is not guilty. In the court, the judges does not make a wicked person into a righteous person. They just publicly declare their condition. They justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. So justification is basically a judicial declaration of our state, that we are righteous in Christ Jesus by divine supreme judge God, As soon as we put our faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, justification is not God making us just, innocent, or sinless. It is God giving a favorable verdict for those who trust in Christ Jesus in virtue of the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Justification is a righteous act of God, pronouncing a believing person righteous and not guilty based on Christ Jesus' death and resurrection. In other words, it is an act of God whereby He judicially declares an unrighteous, guilty sinner righteous when they put their faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus for salvation. Next, I would like to look at why do we need justification? The reason why we need justification is because of our sin and guilt. We are guilty sinners before holy God, the divine supreme judge. Hence, we need justification. If you will turn to Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. For we have been previously charged, both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. One thing that we understand from this verse is we are all under sin. It doesn't matter whether a person is Jew or Gentile. There is a charge against us. As we read, for we have been previously charged, both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. There is an accusation against us that we are all under sin. Since we are under sin, we are guilty before God. God created man in His own image. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Mankind is accountable to God. We are required to obey God. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 we read, as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this judgment, God is going to judge mankind if we disobey Him. This judgment is not going to happen to animals or birds. They are not morally responsible to God to live righteously. People of this world do not want to be morally responsible to God. That's why they come up with theories like mankind came from monkeys and so on. For example, if a monkey hurt you, you may call that monkey a bad monkey. But that monkey is not guilty before God, nor can you take that monkey to any U.S. court to be judged. But on contrary, if you hurt someone, not only are you bad, you're guilty before God. Because God has given us a conscience and a spirit to choose between good and bad. As per God's law, a guilty sinner should die. If there are any unbelievers listening to me, if you need your guilt to be cleared and live, you should believe in Christ Jesus for salvation. As soon as you trust in Christ Jesus for salvation, God will declare you not guilty and you will be justified. To understand and appreciate justification, we should understand how sinful we were before a holy God and what our sins means to God. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 we read, but we are all like an unclean thing and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. In front of a holy God, without Christ, we are all like an unclean thing, like an unclean leper of Old Testament. To God, our sins are like the filthy leprosy wounds. All our righteousness and good deeds combined to merit salvation is like a filthy rag to Him. Best of our best efforts to please God apart from Christ are like filthy rags to Him. Paul in Romans chapter 7 verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. God is infinitely holy, pure, righteous, and just. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, speaking of God, you're of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Because God is absolutely holy and just, He cannot tolerate or overlook the smallest sin that we ever committed. There is no gray area for God. The punishment for the smallest sin that we ever commit will be a place in the eternal lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, we read, the soul who sins shall die. This verse does not say the soul who sins might die, The death is certain for a man who sins. If we sin, we die. In God's eyes, we are absolutely unholy, impure, unrighteous, and unjust. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we read, For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we all sinned and couldn't live up to God's righteous standard. We were all guilty sinners deserving death according to God's righteous standards. We are guilty because we sinned. We sin because we are sinners. We are sinners because we have a sin nature in us. Psalm 51 verse 5, words of David, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We are born sinners, corrupt, defiled before God. Adam's sin nature has been passed on to us. There is a day coming when all sinners who died without Christ will have to stand at the great white throne judgment. It is going to be an individual judgment, just you and God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, we read, And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. These people who stand before God will be the ones who rejected Christ and have not put their faith in Christ Jesus for salvation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, we read, And they were judged, each one according to his works. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we read, But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Not putting your faith in Christ Jesus for salvation is the greatest sin that you can ever commit while you live in this world. That is the only sin that will make you end up in hell. Hell is a horrific place, and it is a real place. As I read earlier, it is a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. If you die without Christ, it is where you will end up all eternity, consciously suffering, eternally separated from God and His grace and mercy. If there are any unbelievers listening to me, I urge you, repent your sins and come to Christ Jesus for salvation. The moment you put your faith in Christ Jesus and His finished work on the cross, you will be justified, declared not guilty, and you'll be declared righteous. Next, I would like to look at how are we justified. First of all, we are justified because of God's mercy. If you will turn to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 9. Also he, Jesus, spoke this parable to someone who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here Jesus mainly spoke this parable to Pharisees who trusted in their own righteousness. It is also applicable to anyone who trusts in their own righteousness for salvation. In those days, Pharisees were religiously high-class people who outwardly showed strict adherence to law. But they were hypocrites. Tax collectors in those days were hated by fellow Jewish people because they worked for Romans who occupied them. They would collect more money than the required tax money for their own gain. Jesus told this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector who came to the temple to pray. Pharisee prayed to God, But when he prayed to God, rather than humbling himself before God, he gloried in his own righteousness. He boasted that he is morally and spiritually better than other men, especially the tax collector. Part of the issue that with the society we now live is the moral and spiritual standards are relative. Government is now legalizing the things that the scriptures say are wrong. They're now redefining marriage, family, love, and so on. But remember this, there is a day coming when we have to stand before God to be judged. He will judge us according to his righteous standards, not according to the U.S. law. Just because my friends or the whole society is doing any particular sin, it does not make it just before God. God's moral and spiritual standards are absolute and unchanging. We will be judged according to his standards. It is not our righteousness that makes us justified. It is not what we do or we do not do that makes us justified. It is not what we can bring to the table before God that makes us justified. Justification happens when we repent our sins and ask for forgiveness for all the things that we have done to offend him and fall on his feet for mercy. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." No matter how small our sin is, remember this, all our ungodliness and unrighteousness is against God. Since God is holy, he hates sin and he is angry with our sins. Good deeds that we do does not nullify the sins we committed against God. All our righteous acts we did throughout our lives combined will not take any sin away. All we could do is fall on his feet, ask for forgiveness and mercy if we do not want his wrath to fall on us when he judges us according to his holy standards. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we repent and confess our sins to God, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In an essence, that's what this tax collector did. Verse 13 we read, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eye to heaven, but beat his breast." His action showed that he acknowledged that he is not worthy to come to God's presence. He stood afar off. He would not lift up his eye to heaven, showing he humbled himself before God. He beats his breast, showing he was sorrowful for the sins he committed. Then he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This is true repentance. He acknowledges that he is a sinner and that there is nothing that he could show forth to God to merit God's salvation. He was sorrowful of his sins. He went to God and pleaded for God's mercy. Verse 14 we read, "Words of Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Tax collector pleaded for God's mercy. God showed mercy and he went home justified. We are justified because of God's mercy. Second point that I want to bring out is we are justified because of God's grace. If you will turn to Romans chapter 3 verses 24 through 26. These are very familiar passages that we always read. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Romans chapter 3 verse 24, we read, we are justified freely by his grace. It is because of God's grace that we are justified, and it is a free gift. What motivated God to justify us is his grace. Grace, as you know, it's God's unmerited favor. We all have sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. What we deserved was death and eternal separation from God. We did not deserve any favor from God. On one side, God is love. He loves us so much that even though we are undeserving sinners, He is not willing that any should perish, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. On the other side, God is holy, just, and righteous. He cannot go any sin unpunished. Naturally, a question arises, how can God justify a sinner without compromising His holiness and righteousness? His divine justice demands that a sinner should die, but His love for us does not want us to die. God put forth Christ whereby He demonstrated His holiness, righteousness, justice, and love. God's sinless Son took upon our sins and the punishment that was due to us. His shed blood on the cross is what propitiated or appeased God's wrath. Because of God's wrath, righteous wrath against us for sins was satisfied. He can freely justify us who put faith in Christ Jesus for salvation. Justification is a free gift. Christ did all the work. He paid the price in full. God's justice is met. We receive justification as a free gift if we simply trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus. So we are justified because of God's grace. The third point that I want to bring out is we are justified by faith. If you will turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The means by which we are justified is by faith in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, God's Son, is what God the Father has given as a provision for us to be justified. If we put our faith in Him, He would declare us righteous and we will be justified. The result of justification is peace. Prior to justification, there is enmity between God and man. Hence, there is no peace. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, we read, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." We once walked away from God in willful rebellion. We were enemies, but Christ Jesus, through His death, reconciled us to God. When we put our faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, God's righteousness is imputed or credited to us. Since God's righteousness is credited to us, positionally, in Christ Jesus, we are declared righteous. We can come to His presence anytime, not fearing condemnation. The result of justification is peace with God. We are justified by faith. When we surrender our lives to Him and put our faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, we will experience peace in our hearts like we have never experienced before. Fourth point I want to bring out is we are justified by His blood. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Notably, God demonstrated His love toward us by sending His Son, and He died in our place. But also, He justified us. Not only God justified us, but in future, He will save us from the wrath to come. We are justified by His blood. There is no justice without shedding of blood. God demands that a sinner should die. Prior to salvation, we were guilty sinners. But Christ died in our place as a substitute. He suffered the cruel cross on our behalf. He shed His precious blood. God paid a huge price in order to justify you and me. The means by which we are justified is by His blood. The debt that we owe, He fully paid it. If God is willing to sacrifice His own Son in order to justify us, in future, He is going to save us from the wrath to come. Nahum chapter 1, verse 6, we read, "Who can stand before His indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of His anger?" And the answer to that question is no one. I would like to read a prophetic portion from Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. If you want, you can turn to that portion. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, where we'll get a glimpse of the wrath of God against the unbelieving people during the tribulation. Revelation chapter 6, starting with verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it was shaken by a mighty wind. The sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hide themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? It does not matter what level of society you belong to. When they see the destruction of earth and heaven, whether they are a king, great man, rich man, commander, mighty man, slave, or free man, they will run for cover in caves and behind the rocks. They would plead for mountains and rocks to fall on them. They would rather die than to face the wrath of Christ. I'm so thankful that I am justified by the blood of Christ, and I will be saved from the wrath to come through Christ Jesus. The wrath of God fell on Christ instead of me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made his son, Christ, who is sinless, to be a sin bearer. God dealt with his son on the cross as if he committed all the sins we did and will commit. God is righteous. God's righteousness is now imputed to those who believe in Christ Jesus because of the merit of what Christ did on the cross. Because of the shed blood of Christ Jesus, when I trust in Christ Jesus for salvation, my standing in front of God was changed from guilty to not guilty, from unrighteousness to righteousness. Justification is God declaring our standing on the merit of Christ Jesus' work on the cross. Fifth point that I wanted to bring out is we are justified by works. If you will turn to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. James chapter 2, starting with verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, the faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Faith is not work, but faith without work is dead. Genuine faith in God is demonstrated by works. The fact that a person is justified by faith is evident by that person's work. Here James is using the example of Abraham. First thing that Abraham did was he believed God, and his faith in God was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 we read, and he or Abraham believed in the Lord, and he or speaking of God accounted it to him for righteousness. Afterward, when we come to Genesis chapter 22, we see God tested his faith and asked him to offer his only son Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham obeyed God and passed God's test. His faith in God was demonstrated by works when he obeyed God. If we claim that we are justified, we should demonstrate the fact that we are justified or declared right by doing good works and by obeying him. James chapter 2 verse 26 we read, for as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Good works alone will not justify us. Genuine faith followed by works shows that we are justified. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 we read, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. A man cannot be justified by his own merit or by his own efforts or works, nor can he mix faith and works to earn God's favor. Justification is by faith in Christ alone and not by any human effort or works by keeping the law. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 we read, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Once we put our faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, we will be justified. Once justified, our justification will be evident by the good works we do. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 9 we read, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord. Here we see the righteous work involves walking in God's statutes and keeping God's judgments. Such a person will be justified. So in summary, justification is the sovereign act of God whereby he declares believers in Christ Jesus not guilty and righteous based on his son's finished work on the cross and his resurrection. The reason why we need justification is because we are guilty sinners before God. Those who repent their sins and put their trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus for salvation will receive justification. They will not have to face the dreadful great white throne judgment and end up in hell. We are justified because of God's grace and mercy. We are justified by faith in Christ Jesus and by the blood of Christ Jesus. Once justified, our justification will be evident to others by the good works we do. How much more we should thank and praise God for justifying us. May his name be glorified. Amen. We pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the great salvation thou hast offered through Christ Jesus. O Father, how comforting it is to know that we are justified, free of guilt, to stand before Holy God, knowing that our sins are fully forgiven and one day face God without fearing condemnation. Father, we are so thankful that we could come to thy presence anytime without fearing judgment and punishment. Oh Father, we are so thankful for saving us. Father, we truly appreciate the work of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful that he died in our place as a substitute. Father, he bore our sins on the cross. Father, he took our guilt. He died on that cross, on the dreadful cross, as if he did all the sins we did. Father, we're so thankful that he endured the cross. Father, you dealt with him as a sinner, although 3 dark hours. Father, we're so thankful for this great salvation that you offered to us. Father, we thank thee once again for saving us. Father, if there are any unbelievers listening to this message, pray that thy Holy Spirit would stir up their hearts and they would soften their hearts and they would trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus alone for salvation, and pray that they will be brought into life. Father, be with us as we depart. Pray that thou would keep us safe under thy wings. We ask these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.